Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. This is a show about what matters most in life: our minds, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. So today in this show, I'll bring you the latest research on older adults being less distracted by negative information. And I think they're just, we become more positive as we grow older. Isn't that nice? Talk about aging gracefully. At least we see things positive when we grow old. Isn't that a good news? And then I'll speak to two celebrities. The first one, Maz Jobrani. He's a comedian, he's an actor, and the host of Back to School with Maz Jobrani podcast. And then I'll speak with Naveed Negahban, who's an actor, the man of thousand faces. That's what they call him, the man of thousand faces, talking about two of his new movies, upcoming movies. You can call us on the studio line, 951-922-3532, if you really want to talk to the two actors and comedian. Be sure to listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Share it with everyone. Write your comments on them. Subscribe to them. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to talk about a particular subject, don't forget, call me or let me know, email me, and let me know who, you know, what subjects you want to talk about. We'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
So, tip of the week. You know, this week I've been witnessing how people react when they are lied to. None of us really likes to be lied to, right? So some people take it as it's a norm. Everyone lies. So do I. I expected it. I will lie myself sometimes, right? Some people become very offended and confront by making the person wrong and belittle them. Some feel betrayed and remove themselves from the person and judge them silently in their own mind. Some take it as if it's an insult to their intelligence and get angry and retaliate. So what do you do? Really, think about it. What do you do when you are lied to? I have a suggestion. I suggest sharing with the person kindly and empathically that your world is a bit different than theirs and your recollection of the events are a bit different, or that based on their previous sharing and what you know, there appears to be some discrepancy and we would like some clarifications. Letting someone know that they're lying to you might actually help the person shift their pattern. I know that when we talk to parents about their kids lying, because every kid lies and every human being starts doing this manipulation and lying, and just to see how far can I get away with it, right? And usually when I talk to parents, it's like, well, when the first lies are coming, go ahead and let them know kindly and lovingly that it seems to be a discrepancy between, or what you know is different. And don't reward anybody's lying by ignoring it, because people lie because sometimes they're not safe. Sometimes they want to manipulate. Sometimes they have alternative motives that they're not necessarily letting you know. But the point is that if you don't say anything to them when they're lying to you, you are giving them positive feedback about whatever their behavior is. So the person will continue. You can also ignore and with a person that you really don't know or you don't come across often. But in relationships where you are in a relationship where constantly working with the person, either at work or family members, friends, mate, you know, children, this is going to go on if you don't let the person know that you honor actually transparency and you honor honesty. So let them know. You don't need to make them wrong. You just let them know that you like honesty and you will trust them. You will honor them. It would be better if, at least with you, they could be honest. So try that and let me know how it works. So far, it's worked for me a lot better than ignoring it. So the latest research, this is a good news, actually. You know how I've talked to you before about, I don't know about this aging business. I have some fears around it. It shows up for me as, oh, it's not going to be fun. But this new study gives us a little bit of a better feeling about it, let's say. A new study shows, this was in USA, that compared to younger adults, older adults are less distracted by negative information, even in the earliest stage of attention. USC researchers looked at emotion-induced blindness, which refers to distractions caused by emotionally arousing stimuli. In four experiments using a quickly presented sequence of images, they examined how older adults prioritize emotional information. They found both younger and older adults demonstrated emotion-induced blindness, but older adults were more distracted by positive information and less distracted by negative information. The results were published today in Emotion, that's the journal. So older and younger adults were distracted differently by the same negative images that happened and appeared for only a fraction of a second. Older adults seem to view their world with a filter that cares less about negative information than younger adults, to the point that without even having time to think about and reflect on what they're seeing, they give less attention to it. So studies have shown that compared with younger adults, older adults tend to favor positive information more than negative information in their attention and memory. What has remained unclear about this long-observed positivity effect is at which stage it impacts cognitive processing and it influences on processing other stimuli appearing around the same time. Participants in the USC study were shown a rapidly displayed series of landscape images and given the task to correctly identify the direction of one rotated picture. So those images were punctuated with irrelevant positive or negative images that appeared soon before the rotated picture. The positive images included babies or happy couples, while the negative images included disturbing or threatening situations, like a man approaching a woman with a knife. So both older and younger adults were less accurate in identifying the rotated landscape image after these emotional distractors. However, compared to younger adults, older adults were less distracted by negative and more distracted by positive images, suggesting that a selective bias toward positive information occurs early in older adults. Visual processing. In previous studies on emotion, which involved mostly slower-paced attention and memory tasks, older adults saw and remembered positive images better and negative images worse. The researchers wanted to see if that happens in early attention and found that even when images were presented quickly, older adults were more distracted by positive rather than negative adults. So these older adults don't really have time to reflect and think too much about something being positive or negative when they're seeing them flash so quickly on the screen. But older adults have a sort of active filter when they're looking at things, prioritizing things that are positive and deprioritizing things that are negative compared to younger adults. So whereas younger adults may give special attention to information that has a negative spin, older adults may instead reserve their prioritized attention for something more positive. So by understanding how older adults change their priority for emotion, we may better understand the way the brain, particularly our attention, changes with age. It was interesting because yesterday, I think it was it was on Farid Zakaria who had an author who the last, I don't know the name of the book right now. I will definitely find it for you. I think it's When. The book's name is When. And in that book, there's a lot of study that has come up about older adults actually becoming more happy, because they were talking about what are the ages that happiness shows and satisfaction shows. And in the book states that the studies that the book says that the happiness shows up around between 20s and 30s. And then, you know, between 30s and starts declining around 50s, pretty much at its lowest. And then from 60s, it starts going up. And most people are becoming more and more happy as they age, depending on who they were as an adult. So in comparison with themselves in their younger age. So this also, the study that I just read to you from USC could be a part of the same concept, that people, as they grow older, are no longer interested in negativity or holding negativity. They are really more interested and prioritize and look forward in having their life be more positive. So again, it's a good news for us who are getting older. Something is going to work. We'll be right back with Maz Jobrani, the comedian, actor, and the host of Back to School podcast. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He is impressive. He has acted in 76 films and television series, written, produced, and directed many television series and documentaries. Maz's first original Netflix stand-up special, Immigrant, was filmed at the Kennedy Center. He has also put out 3 other solo specials on the Showtime, including Brown and Friendly, I Come in Peace, and I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV. He was a founding member of the Axis of Evil comedy tour, which aired on Comedy Central. Maz starred as the title character in the award-winning indie comedy, Jimmy Vestwood, American Hero, and he has co-starred in Disney's Descendants, Sidney Pollack's The Interpreter, The Ice Cube's Friday After Next. With over 50 guest star appearances, Maz is regularly seen on television most popular shows, Grey's Anatomy, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Shameless. He's a regular panelist on NPR's and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and has given 2 TED Talks. He is the author of LA Times best-selling book, I'm Not a Therapist, But I've Played One on TV, and he has produced Everything Must Change, a documentary about his sister's battle with breast cancer. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Maz Jobrani.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
Well, hello. Welcome back, everyone. Dinner Voice. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and guess what? I have Maz Jobrani with us. Hi, Maz.
Hi, Dr. Fujian. I'm always on the run.
I know. Every time I catch you, you are going somewhere, coming from somewhere, going on a show. But you know, the beauty is you always say yes when I ask you to come on my show. So thank you.
Thanks for having me again.
Maz, I love your podcast, the Back to School with Maz Jobrani podcast. I listen to it. You have amazing guests.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting because I've been wanting to do a podcast for a long time. And now that I'm back doing it, I'm very happy because you realize there's so many interesting, amazing people doing amazing things. And you know, the reason I call it Back to School is because I want these people to come on my show and teach us about what they're experts in. And from, you know, Dr. Firuz Nadiri, who, as you know, was part of JPL at NASA.
I know, he's supposed to send us to Mars one day. I think for some reason we're losing your voice.
Yeah, exactly. He got us tomorrow. We've covered everything.
Yeah, you have. It's been really awesome to listen to you. I learn a lot. And I know that you start the show with your son asking a question from them. As you said, that the whole reason why you started the Back to School is because your son was asking you questions which you really didn't have any answers to. And you figured, hey, let's get them to answer all of it for all of us, which you're doing right now.
Absolutely. I think anyone who is a parent knows that our kids ask us these questions that we don't know the answer to. And why not bring in experts to get the answers?
Yeah. And Tehran is with you and Caitlin, and you guys make it funny. So not only we learn, but we laugh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Dr. Fujian, I always tell my fellow Iranian audience members when I do a comedy show, I say, and it's free. So
yes.
That's the best price.
Yes, it is. So what are your are you working on a film?
I'm working currently on writing a TV show that we hope to submit and see if, you know, it's a long road. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Hope to try and at least get it, you know, get some interest from the different networks. And I just got back from a long tour. I was in Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, and Indonesia doing shows.
How is it going around the world being an Iranian American? So I know that in United States, things are shifting, you know, as far as how people view the Iranians or and I've talked to you before about that and how you handle it. But then how does this even work when you are abroad?
You know, I was very pleasantly surprised with it all. In Australia, there actually are a lot of Iranians there. So I was able to have a lot of them at my shows. But I also had, you know, Lebanese and Indians and Pakistanis and white Australians. It was a pretty decent group that came out. We had some big shows, you know, Sydney, we had like 1500 people, Melbourne, 1500 people. So they come out, they laugh and the jokes translate. The things that were new to me, I'd never performed in was Singapore and Indonesia, where the audiences were all Asians and they too were there and they were laughing and they were into it. And I honestly didn't even know there was a comedy scene in Indonesia until we went there and did it. And they had a comedy festival, and it was amazing. I mean, Indonesia, for people that have never been, it's the biggest Muslim country in the world, and it's a poorer country, but I was so impressed with their appetite for, I can take the phone now because I've parked, their appetite for comedy, and the fact that they were having this festival, and they had a lot of local comedians performing in Indonesian, and I was on their international night, and I think we had maybe a couple of thousand people show up. So it was, it's all been very, very pleasant and positive.
Is it different for you when you perform in front of different groups? Like, do you have to become different when you do that?
A little bit. The biggest difference is that I try to have some jokes about the place. So I had some jokes about my experience in Jakarta and how busy it is. I'd never seen traffic like that in my life before. It would be all these cars going, and then it was just the road would get narrower and narrower, and then suddenly it'd be stopped, and then there'd be hundreds of scooters passing by you, and then there'd be one guy in the corner trying to sell water. There wasn't even room. Like, he was like, here, buy the water. So when you're telling them about that, they appreciate that you're doing material about them. You're the fish out of water. And then after that, I was able to bring them into my story. I think I talk a lot about these days about, you know, raising kids now versus the way we were raised. So I think a lot of that stuff they can relate to. Although in all honesty, it's funny because in America, we raise kids a lot more modern than they are still in some of those countries. Like, I was in Singapore, and in this fancy, fancy mall, we saw this one Asian mother just wind up and spank her 3-year-old. And that night on stage, I said, when I saw that, I turned to my wife and I said, you know, on stage, I go, you guys, I was here in Singapore. I saw this lady spank her kid. And I turned to my wife. I said, we got to move to Singapore. The audience laughed at that. So they're appreciating that I'm observing their culture and bringing that into my show. But then once I've done that, then I can go into my material and just go from there.
Well, I know that for us as therapists, we get trained very much to be observant. I mean, this is how we pick up moods, innuendos, stuff that is happening with our clients, and then we can call it, especially things that are not really aware of. And one of the things that I've noticed about comedians, especially you, as I've watched you, I have followed you many times when you have been in LA, you have this keen observation where you see things, even in the audience, immediately and improvise and bring them in. And that kind of an observation, which is right there, like a present moment, and then being able to weave all of this, I think is one of your best traits.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I've been doing this now for 21 years, and I think my interest in talking to the audience came because when I would first perform at the Comedy Store almost 20 years ago, they would give us the really late spots. So you'd be up at maybe 1:30 in the morning and you would try and do your jokes as if it's a full crowd, but there was only 5 people in the audience. And so you would have to stop doing your jokes and start talking to them. And I think that that helped me learn to talk to the audience. And it's amazing when you talk to the audience, how sometimes that audience will provide you with material that then becomes very good material in that moment. And so, yeah, I try to do that as much as I can. And I do feel that, you know, the stage is a certain amount of therapy for us comedians, but it's also our job to kind of read the audience and feel their mood. So as you said, you might look in the audience and there's a guy who's just been staring at you all night, not laughing. So just out of curiosity, you'll go, hey, are you okay? And that'll lead to some other joke somewhere.
We're trying to have a bridal shower. And I actually asked you, everybody goes for bridal shower into Vegas and they have these kind of scenes of getting drunk and all of that. And we're talking, you know, we should have it in a comedy show. And then I remember I texted you, are you in LA? Because I was going to send you the whole bridal shower group. This could be a whole new trait, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, we've had that. We've had people come at bachelorette parties. Matter of fact, one time I was performing in Beirut, of all places, in Lebanon, and it was funny because I think that someone hadn't told the bachelorette party that there was going to be a comedy show. It was in a bar,
So I was, and it wasn't a comedy club. So they had me performing on top of the bar with all the alcohol behind me. And I was doing jokes. And while I'd be doing jokes, there was a whole bachelorette party going on in the corner and they weren't even paying attention. So it became this struggle with them. So we'd talk to them and then they would yell at me and then I would do a joke and then they would go back to partying and then I would yell at them and it became this whole thing. But it seemed like they had a good time. So I think that people do take that as a, as an option, going to a comedy show.
Moz, you are in a variety of venues of expressing yourself, let's say. You write a book, you have produced, you have directed documentaries and TV series, you write your own material everywhere, you write for TV series and your own shows and comedy shows. You have acted in so many of the television series and movies, and now you are doing the podcast. First of all, you don't get burned out because you're so, you know, you're going everywhere and you're really expressing who you are in all of these other realms. But it also, my assumption is that it expands you. You're not only your talent, but who you are as a human being. Can you say a bit about what gets you interested and what makes you go from one thing to another?
Well, I think all of it has storytelling in common, right? I think the idea is to tell my story. And through the podcast, other people's stories, and hopefully through a TV show, elaborate upon my story and find other interesting stories that I can tell. So really, whether you're doing stand-up or you're writing a movie, you're telling a story. And a lot of the times when you're writing that stuff, you pull from your own life. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my nephew who's sitting here with me right now.
Hi!
Hi.
Hello.
Cameron here. And he was saying, we were talking about how when I did a joke in one of my specials about going and picking a watermelon with my grandfather and how he would flick the watermelon to find out if it's ready or not. And when I'd done that, the production company that helped me make that special took that joke and animated it. So suddenly we go from a stand-up act to basically a cartoon. So the point being that when you're writing a book or you're writing a movie or you're performing, whatever, it's all storytelling and it's what interests me. And I'm lucky to have been able to make a career out of what I love doing. So I don't really see it as something that's tiring or something that's so different where I'm learning a new new skill. I just see it all as the same thing.
It's just a different expression of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So say more about your podcast. I want people to know about it and come and download it. So talk more about that so people know where to go and obviously iTunes. But
yeah, absolutely. So the podcast is called Back to School with Moz Jobrani. And the idea is that we bring in experts from all different fields. So it could be something you're interested in. Maybe we'll bring somebody who is someone who's a constitutional law professor or something, and you might be interested in that, or maybe you're not interested in it, but you listen to it, you go, oh wow, this guy's perspective is very interesting. So every week we have someone from a different background. We've been bringing in a lot of professors, we've been bringing in authors, people that have written books, and we pick their brain and they tell us about what they do and what they're an expert in. And then I have myself, Tehran, who is a funny stand-up comedian. And our third co-host is a girl by the name of Caitlin. And we just try to interject questions or try to make it funny as we go. So the point is you could listen to it for an hour and hopefully learn something and be entertained. And people can find the podcast anywhere where podcasts are found. We have the video version of it on my YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/Moz Jobrani. Or people can find it on Spotify, on iTunes, anywhere that podcasts are found. Just Google, Moz Jobrani podcast or Back to School with Moz Jobrani, and you'll be able to find it. And again, like I said, it's free, so people hopefully will listen and watch. And if they do like it, I encourage them to either write a good review or give it a thumbs up, because that helps us move up in the algorithms of iTunes and all those places.
I remember listening to people who were from school system. I learned so much about Los Angeles school system. You brought a professor that was talking about the environment and the concept of global warming, talking about guns and then music. So it's really a variety of different people with from different backgrounds talking about, and you also brought social conversations and political conversations from any type of ideas, which is really something people learn.
Yeah, this week we have someone, every Tuesday we put out a new episode. So this week will be a lady who's a professor on gender studies. And I didn't know anything about it, I learned so much, and she was so amazing with her teaching. And so I really feel that if people are looking for a program that's entertaining and educational, it's a great, great one to listen to. And it's not just because of what we do, but rather the guests that are coming on have been very interesting. There was one guy who was, I mean, there's others we haven't even aired yet. One guy talks about kleptocracy and like all these big, big government, like Russian oligarchs who steal money and how they hide it. A lot of them have books too. So if you listen to it and you're interested, you can read their books and learn more about them.
Awesome. Awesome. I should come one day on yours.
I would love to have you on. You need to
I would
on.
Love to. Yes, yes. I Absolutely. Would love to come. Yes.
We're going to make it happen. Dr. Fujian in the house.
Yes, yes. You know, I created a new psychology model, which has been patented and has been tested in universities. So I could definitely come and talk on that with you.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Last minute, 1 minute. Anything your heart desires for all of our audience and viewers to know about you?
I tell them I love them, trying to spread the love on my Peaceful Warrior tour right now, which is a stand-up tour that I'm touring with all over the place, and I'll be in North America in the fall, so people can go to mazjobrani.com to look at all the dates. I'm going to be in San Jose, I'm going to be in Los Angeles, I'm going to be in Boston, New York, all over the place, mazjobrani.com, and they should follow me on social media. It's all at mazjobrani, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I post a lot of stuff. Sometimes political. So if they get offended by Trump jokes, don't follow me. But if you are okay with it, then follow me.
Well, you were on my other show in LA Talk Radio, and you were upset with Trump at the beginning. So we all know what you believe in. Do you know who's coming next after you?
Who?
Navid Nagahvat.
Oh, tell him I say hello.
I told him about your podcast. He didn't know about your podcast. I'm like, did you know Maz has podcast? So I put it on for him on his phone.
Oh, that's hilarious. He's one of my favorite people. Give him a big hug and tell him I miss him.
I know. He's amazing. You're both amazing. I actually told him that both of you have this, the two of you and Ustad Shajarian, you are the three people who I have interviewed, which it's almost like, you know, you guys know who you are. You guys know where you are. And you have this humbleness about you that is just presents all three of you in such a great place. So I'm honored to know all three of you in that way.
Thank you, Dr. Fujian. As they would do in Indonesia, I feel like going like this now. Namaste. Namaste.
Yes, yes, yes. So create a wonderful world for yourself and your nephew over there. Thank you for taking on the taking on the camera work for us for a while. Thank you, Maz. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And for everyone, we'll be right back with Navid Nagahvat.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it. Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I am so excited to have Navid Negahban with us. Navid, though sometimes called the man of thousand faces, is still most widely regarded as Abu Nazir, the enigmatic Al-Qaeda leader. He played for two seasons on the Showtime's Emmy-winning original series, Homeland. He has drawn praise for his roles on Fox's hit series 24, CSI New York, CSI Miami, CSI Los Angeles, and Law & Order, SVU, The Closer, The Game, Criminal Minds, Lost, JAG, The West Wing, Without a Trace, and The Shield, and so many others. He has credit for 128 acting roles. He has produced 11 films. In 2019, last year, or this year, he's played already in The Sultan, as the Sultan in Aladdin, and was in 5 episodes of the TV series Legion. Today, he's with us to talk about 2 upcoming feature films, Cry Me a River and Cash for Gold. Hi, Navid.
Hi, how are you, Fujian? Thank you so much. Thank you, Avi.
I'm doing great. So nice to have you with us. I was just talking to Moz, and he said to say hi. You are one of his favorite people, and so there, he says hi.
I love him. He's an amazing guy, and actually we go way, way back.
Yeah.
And by the way, thank you so much for the introduction. My gosh, I'm starting liking myself now.
Yes, I like you very much, and everywhere I go, I actually talk about your wonderful character.
You are
loving and give time to people, listen to them. You give your ideas with generosity and your humbleness, although, again, you know who you are and where you stand. So I go around bragging about your personality to everyone, just letting you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Tell me about these 2 new projects. Oh, my God. You've told me a little bit about Cash for Gold. So let's hold on to that for a minute because I want everybody to know about that. But what is the Cry Me a River? Those are the 2 you're producing, right?
Cry Me a River is the British-based production, and it's kind of as a thriller project. It's about the guy who's struggling with his addictions, his failures, and it just happens that he's also dealing with a loan shark, which would be me. So as a thriller, and yes,
okay.
The project actually was shot in Norway, UK, and part of it here in Los Angeles. And it will be a fun film. It will be an entertaining and suspenseful film to watch. And Cash for Gold, I don't know. I mean, I told you about it. And Cash for Gold was inspired by a short movie, which we did a couple of years ago, and NBC Universal really liked it, and they screened it as part of their diversity program. And actually, the writer was inspired. She's an American, Deborah Puett, who's an amazing, amazing writer and actor. And what's happening right now in our country kind of inspired her, and the way that the people are being being judged by the way that they look, inspired her to write this beautiful story, which introduces two people together to each other, an American woman and an Iranian man, who is being looked at as an outsider, and as someone who is not being respected by society. And through the journey, we discover how similar they both are, and they both become very good friends, and they're helping the community to change their perspective.
Beautiful. And that is, where are you in the process with that?
Cash for Gold, we already locked our locations. We are planning to shoot in Ohio. We are in the final stages to raise some money to finish our budget, to get our budget together. The film is being shot on low budget. Most of us, we are the above the line. The director, the writer, the producer, all of us, we are coming on board, and we are kind of working for free. And but we just want to tell the story. The story is it's very similar to It's a Wonderful Life. So it's a very it's a film that would bring some awareness. It will clear up some of the misunderstandings, and actually it's kind of it's a film that kind of exposes the xenophobia that we are dealing with right now, and allows people to look at their lives and look deeper inside themselves and find the similarities and sort of differences. Because when you look at it, in reality, all of us, it doesn't matter where we are coming from, what color we are, what religion we have, deep down inside our core, it's just pure white. It's very innocent. And if we look at each other, and if we see that beautiful, bright light inside every person, then we will be able to create a better future. I mean, that's my opinion. So,
absolutely.
Maybe I'm just a dreamer.
How do people even support you with the funding? Is this only funding through specific funders, or is it also out there for public funding?
It's also out there for public funding. They can easily reach out and contact me. It's very easy to reach out. You can even they can even reach out to my the email that we have is romanyassistant@gmail.com. They can reach out there or through the company, and if they're interested, they can jump on board, support it. We do have a couple financiers who are coming on board, but we still need some help.
How does
side the producer and the actor in me says, oh, now you have to take advantage and announce it, but at the same time, because I'm talking to you as a friend, I just don't. I don't know. I don't want to start promoting my film.
Why not? Why not do that? I think it's wonderful to be able to get people to be involved in things, because as you said, there are stories that we all want to look at, because each one of us have a particular story inside of us. But I think that movies and songs bring out the actual experience and emotion of people who are inside, and they trigger it, and we can connect to it. So many of the things that are happening in life at this point, which each person might experience internally within the same, you know, within the family system or in their community, when the stories or similar stories show up on the screen, everybody relates to it, and everybody gets moved by it. And then sometimes through this, the education actually flows. a lot of people might not necessarily listen to a very serious conversation about these. They might not listen, go to books and actually read, but a lot of people do take on to the entertainment world from the entertainment space to, and then in the meantime, they get educated about matters. I know that, for example, when you know, when I saw the movies about capital punishment, I learned so much from the movie, and then I picked up my interest, and then I started looking at all sides of this matter, where before I might have just had my own limited view. So I do think that when you have stories to tell, which other people need to know and be educated and see all different parts, it's also beautiful for everybody to be able to be a part of it and no, feel the ownership of it.
Fujian, I agree with you 100%. I mean, this film was chosen out of 2,500 films. They chose only seven films, and the seven films were the films that they were screening at the as part of their diversity program. And we had a screening in New York, and the interesting thing about the film was that we had audience members who walked up to us and they said, "Oh, I've dealt with this. Oh, this is a story that I've dealt with." We have an African American gentleman who walked up to us. He's an actor and also a writer. He came up and says, "You don't know how often I deal with a situation like this." So this story is not just about an Iranian guy and an American woman. Is about how we are perceiving each other, how we are looking at each other. There is an expression that I always live my life by, it, and I love it, which says you can see the truth when you are blind, and you can hear the truth when you are deaf. Sometimes we are going in, before even we start a conversation with the person, we start judging them based on what we have heard and what we were told. So the voices in our head is not actually our voices. It's the voices from someone else who might have had certain experiences, and then they are coming and they are putting those voices in our head, and that's how we are reacting, or that's how we are responding to others. And I think we should judge people for who they are, not what we have been told they are. And this film, the journey of the film, I mean, there are people who are reading it in the industry, and the film was also chosen, the script was chosen as one of the hot scripts being made this year in Hollywood. So people are paying attention, looking at it, but we want to do it privately. We don't want to go to the studios. We don't want to change to lose the purity of the story just because we want to have support from a bigger studio who might come and say, "Oh no, change this character, change that character, this story is not working, that story is not working," because the story as it is, we have had readings, the short film has won numerous awards, the script is getting tons of attention, and we just want to keep it as pure as it is. And that's the reason that we are going privately, and we could just support. I mean, anybody who's interested in this kind of stories, I will more than happy to share the financial plan with them. I will more than happy to send them the short film. I will more than happy to share the script with them and all the reviews that we got for the script. And so if anyone interested,
I also wanted to talk to you about your studio. You have created a studio for other artists in Los Angeles.
Yes, there's a center that I'm building. I mean, I've told you before, when I moved to Los Angeles, I was coming from Germany, and I was sleeping on the street and I didn't have a place to go. So this center that I'm building is like a hostel for artists. So the people, they don't have a place, they can come, they can stay there for a short term just to get their feet, just to get started. And the studio, the space is I can house up to 8 people in this house, and then the studio space that I have is studio space that can be used as a studio for painters, sculptors, musicians. I'm creating a sound room that if there is any musician, they can come and do their music, they can record, and basically it's just a safe haven. It's something that I wish I had when I came to Los Angeles and I didn't have it. And thank God I'm able to give it to others. Let's see what's going to happen. I'm very excited. You should come when it's finished. You all should come and see it.
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you. And I know it's like you keep playing villains on screen, and your heart is completely love, and you keep giving to everyone in a different way. And I remember reading a quote that you said, which is, even when I'm playing a villain, I'm not a villain, because the villain doesn't know that he or she is actually the villain. So I have to be the person who does things and that's not who they actually are. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The thing is that I never went and played a role and judged the character. You don't judge the characters that you're playing. You're just being the character. You're just trying to be as truthful and as genuine as you can be toward your character and the way that you're portraying the character. It's for the audience to see what they want to see based on their understanding or based on their state of mind, what they think of the character. It's very simple. I mean, let me ask you a question. Somebody's coming and you're walking down the street. Somebody comes, grabs you, puts you against the wall and says, put your hand on the wall and spread your legs. Who is the person? Is he a hero or is he a villain to you?
I guess it really depends on the context of it, huh?
Oh, yes. So who is it? Just imagine you're just walking down the street and you're being put against the wall because there was a riot happening in the city. So at this point,
I'm assuming it's a villain because I'm scared at this point.
Yes. How about if this person is wearing a police uniform? Is he a hero or a villain?
Well, neither one, just the police.
See? That's the thing. That's exactly my point. The situation creates a character, and if the character is good or bad, if he's a hero or if he's a villain.
Absolutely. Navid, we only got 1 minute. I know you have a meeting to attend to at 4. Tell people how to find you, where to go, and in order to support you or, you know, get your where you are in your latest films.
I'm welcoming everyone. Everyone can reach me, reach out, find me on Instagram is Navid Negafon. And spelling is NavidNegahban. So my Instagram, my Facebook, and at the same time, the name of the production company is Romani Road Pictures. So even anybody has access to IMDb, there's an email there, so they can reach out through the email address on IMDb.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for taking the time and being with me and our audience, and for everyone who's out there, create an amazing world for yourself and everyone around you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.